Certainly appreciate our young people this morning being willing to come up and help and sing. Certainly appreciate that. Appreciate everybody this morning. I really do. And I'm thankful this morning to know who holds our victory. It's all and through by Jesus Christ this morning, for we can do nothing without Him. Certainly this morning, this job is too big for me. I can't do it alone. I need the prayers of God's people, and I need the help of the Lord to help us this morning. Our thought this morning, I'll get right into it. I pray I won't be too lengthy. Like I said, I appreciate you this morning being willing to travel this way, and we certainly appreciate you turning into Facebook Live this morning. Certainly we need the Lord's help. Our thought is bigger than we are. Oftentimes that's the case. When the Lord gives us a thought and it's something that has been on our heart this week, and the Lord gave it to us earlier in the week. And to be honest with you, I had talked with Brother Ronnie some had asked him, I said, Brother, I don't know if we'll be that, you know, how the weather and different things will be. And I said, but I really feel like I need to try to preach this message. And I thought, I don't know if I'll be able to hold on to this and for a couple of weeks. So, really looking forward to Lord getting this off our heart, but certainly need your prayers this morning. The title of this subject is called United Front. United Front. When I think of, I listened to Brother Mike's lesson Wednesday night, and he got off on some of the things I guess you could say was on our heart. And kindly I say maybe our message might be a little bit in line. But we think about the Lord's church, and we think about the characteristics and the personalities of the Lord's church. Every church has its own personality. Every one of them's different. All of them's the same, but they're all different. And this church has a different personality than any other church. And that's the way the Lord set it up, that this church might be a help to this community where God has planted it. That it might reach out and that it might go out. That's the reason why God planted it here. That it may take the gospel message out. And as we look at the characteristics and the personalities of the Lord's church, there are different things that we are to do. We are to love the Lord first and foremost. We know that He commanded us to do that. That we are to love the Lord our God with all of our soul and our mind and our might, everything that makes us up, we are to love Him. We are to love our neighbor, the Bible says, as ourselves. Not only that, we are to love our brethren, those that gather with us together. We are to love is the fundamental thing that the Lord's church has set up. We are to love one another. That's the essence, if you will, of it all, is love. This morning, it's hard for us to understand and grasp the true concept of God's love because God's love is unconditional. This morning, we realize that when we think about we're able to love the Lord because the Bible says that He first loved us. So this morning, that is the essence. That should be our personality, if you will, is love. That when people come into the Lord's house, they should feel that love. It should generate from us. It should, what you'd say, come off of us, if you will. They ought to know that we love the Lord and that we love each other. And we're thankful for each and every person that gathers in the Lord's house. There should be love that comes from us. So this morning, when we think about those things, I began to think about just for a moment, I want to take for just a little bit of reading. If you bear with us, and like I said, we've got a little bit of reading this morning that the Lord has given us, but I want to look over here in Philippians in the second chapter this morning, and I want to read this, and I want to get this, the Lord wanted us to bring this out in the second chapter, the first verse through the fourth verse. It says, in the second chapter of Philippians, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I want to look here, it says, but in loneliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. If you was to look over in Galatians, basically, to paraphrase, it says, a man believing himself to be something when he is nothing. Listen, this morning, I realize that we are nothing but what God has done for us and what He allows us to be. We are but a tool to be used in His service. God is able to do all things. This morning, I was thinking about, I believe as Sister Powell was mentioning about those that have been affected by the tornadoes and different things. And certainly this morning, I want you to know that the power of prayer is remarkable what God can do. We oftentimes limit God. But the power of prayer this morning, God can do all things. And I want you to understand this morning that oftentimes we can get down and pray for our brothers and sisters. I thought about this. I heard a story years ago that if we've heard of a widow woman down the road that she needs a rick of wood, and we know that she needs a rick of wood, well, we can pray all day long that God send her that rick of wood, can't we? Now, my God is big enough that He can get her that rick of wood. But my friend, I want you to know, if we know in our hearts that they need that rick of wood, we can go out and cut that rick and take it to her and deliver it to her. Did God still not send her the rick of wood? He did. He just used us as a tool to get it there. Prayer can do all things this morning just because God allows it to. But He wants to use us for His honor and for His glory. He wants to take us and use us in His service, and He's chosen to use us. This morning, our talents and the things that God has given us may not be the best in our eyes. Maybe we're not the best singers. Maybe we're not the best at this or the best at that. And I realize this morning that I'm not the best at preaching. But my friend, that's what God has given us, and we can take that and use that when we trust in the Lord. Now, I think about these things. I think about the shape of this world. I think about how the majority of us are uncertain as far as COVID. It seems like these things is on the rise since it was back some months ago. I want you to know the media's got us about plumb scared of the word pandemic. Webster 1828 edition defines the word pandemic. He defines the word as all people. This is what he says. I wrote it down. He says, as all people, as in an incident to a whole people, an epidemic, a disease that affects the whole world. This morning, I want you to know the when we think of pandemic, we think of this COVID. Now, I'm not trying to belittle COVID this morning. I realize that it is real. I realize that it has affected many lives. I realize that people are dying. I've thought a lot about this through the week. But I want you to know something, church, that there is a real pandemic that is happening that is affecting the whole world. And that pandemic this morning is sin. It is affecting all people. Because of Adam and the sin in the garden, that pandemic, my friend, is the ones that we need to be talking about. Listen, I want you to know, I got up and just out of curiosity, I'd never looked at this before, and I guess it may be a little morbid, but I want to paint you a picture. I got online, and of course you know that we can trust everything we read on the internet, right? But it said that approximately 1.80 people, or almost 2 people, die per second. Approximately. Almost 56 million people die a year in the world. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to disclaim or trying to discredit COVID. But from COVID-related deaths has been approximately 5.4 million people. My friend, this morning I want you to know that 56 million people are dying every year. Death is certain for each and every one of us, and this pandemic that we're talking about that affects all people, my friend, is very serious. My God is capable of handling COVID. My God is capable. He's big enough this morning that He can handle it. My friend, we've got to have confidence in God this morning, but there is something that is affecting the whole world, and my friend, most of us have our focus on something else. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, it's time that God's people see what's going on. Folks, I'm telling you that people are dying all around us and going to hell. I don't know if those two people every second have been saved or have not been saved. That's between them and God. But I am telling you this morning that He has called us out to share the gospel with as many people as we can. That's our job. Listen, He's planted this church right here that it may be a beacon, that it may be a lighthouse under this community, under the people that's gathered around it. That's our job, is to share the gospel. Is that not what it's called, is the good news? Listen, we've got something to share with the world. We've got something to tell them about. And this morning, if we don't, we need to be looking at what we've got. We need to be examining ourselves. Oh, listen, I want us to be excited. But most importantly, I want us to be, listen, folks, we need a burden. We need a burden. Not just a burden of those that are being affected by this pandemic or COVID that's going around, but I'm talking about what's really going on. That lost people need to be saved. That there needs to be a united front in the Lord's house. That there needs to be love that generates from this place, that goes out and lets people know, hey, there's a refuge. There's somewhere you can go. When it feels like the world's crashing in all around you, you can gather around God's people and they'll cry out for you. Listen, I want to look over here, and I'm going to skip around a little bit in this chapter because it's somewhat lengthy, but I want to look in Numbers in the 32nd chapter this morning. And y'all pray for me. Like I said, this lesson is bigger than we are. I need the Lord's help. In the 32nd chapter of Numbers, it says, Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibron and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if they have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto the servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and unto the children of Reuben, shall ye brethren go to war, and ye shall sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did ye fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and swear, and saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading this morning. The children of Israel, and bear with us this morning, like I said, I want to take my time this morning. I want to slow down a little bit. Oftentimes I get excited and I just right out the gate. I want to slow down a little bit this morning. Israel had found themselves in a position that no doubt they had wandered in the wilderness for some time, many years, 40 years. And God had directed Moses as they began to make their journey towards Jordan River that they had overcome some kingdoms. Two in particular, the Bible says, it talks about that they had overcome Sheon, the king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan. And as they had sit here, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad found themselves mostly in the plains of Moab. They were there on the eastern side of Jordan River. And as they were there, no doubt they had a great amount of sheep. And as they looked out, they seen that the valleys that they were in, that it was great for grazing sheep. The Lord had been good to them. I don't know exactly how they had maybe acquired more sheepfolds or more cattle or stock than the other tribes had, but they had a great amount. And they looked out with their eyes and they said, "Man, look at all this green pasture. No doubt this is pleasing to our eyes. We want to be here." No doubt that they had done been in battle and done been warring and was tired from their troubles and weary from their travels. And they had come to a place that they was just as content and happy as they could be. And they went to Moses with this plan and they said, "Moses, listen, we want to just tarry right here. This is where we want to be. We're happy and content." My friend, this morning, that's a place a lot of times as God's people we find ourselves in. God has saved us, and He's maybe saved our children. Maybe He's saved our grandchildren. And we look out, and it looks good and pleasing to the eye. We're comfortable. Maybe we've wearied, and God has brought us through some things. He's strengthened our faith. And we've got to a place that we're comfortable. We've got to a place that we're complacent, if you will. We just want to sit right here and be happy. We don't want to have to do anything more than what's expected of us. We want to sit right here. And there's where Reuben and Gad had gotten to. Now, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't really know if I would have seen it much differently than they did. Ain't nothing very much prettier if you raise cattle than you look out and you see them running out in big old tall fescue grass about waist high and you just sit there and watch them graze. That's pretty to me. They was happy and content. They had a large amount of sheep. They wanted to sit right there. God had promised them some 400 years before that. Their ancestors had cried out in Egypt, "Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us." Abraham had a promise. And yet here they was that God had told them that He would take them across Jordan River unto the promised land. And yet they had found themselves in a place of contentment. They was happy and satisfied. Folks, I want you to understand this morning that we cannot be complacent. We've always got to be searching and looking for more. Always. You say, "Well, Brother Casey, this one was saved or this one was baptized." Folks, I want you to know this morning, if all I ever done was preach the gospel and one soul was saved, my friend, every step I've ever made, every gospel message I've ever preached, every morning we've ever got up and got ready and wearied miles down the road, it's been worth every mile for me if just one soul could be saved. My friend, and God has given the church the commission to go out. Not just me, but the church to go out and to share the gospel message. We must not be complacent and happy and look out and see the things that we see with a visible eye, because God has got far more in store for us, does He not? Now listen, Moses said, "Now you're looking with a visible eye, Reuben and Gad, you're just seeing." He said, "You're going to be just like your fathers was there when they went to spy out there at Kadesh Barnea." He said, "You're going to be just like they were." He said, "You're not going to discourage your brothers and your sisters from crossing over into the promised land." My friend, this morning I want you to know, if we're not careful, because of our actions, we will discourage our brothers and our sisters. Did you hear me this morning? If we're not careful, listen, I don't want y'all to get mad at me, but listen, I'm telling you this morning, honey, if God has set up this choir and God has asked us to do it, we ought not have to beg people to get up here and sing on Sunday morning. Or not have to be begging for somebody to come up and lead song service. I can't sing, but honey, I'll try my best to help. But folks, I've already got a job to do. God's done give me a job. What is your job this morning? What has God given you? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not a singer." Have you asked God? Has you asked God to give you a job? Have you asked God to give you something to do? Maybe you say, "Well, preacher, that's too big for me. Honey, this job that God's given me is too big for me. I can't do it alone." But God can help me, just like God can help you. If we're not careful, listen, we'll discourage our young people. Bless their little hearts, they got up here and sang. And honey, they're an encouragement to us. Is it not backwards? Aren't we not being encouragement to them? And honey, they're the ones up here singing and praising God and saying victory in Jesus. Is that not good? If we're not careful, we'll discourage our brothers and our sisters. Moses asked him, he said, "Listen, do you expect to sit here while your brothers and sisters go out to war?" Folks, I want to tell you right now, we're in one of the biggest battles that I've ever been in my lifetime. One of the biggest battles that we've been faced with in my lifetime. We've got young adults that reach the age of high school and go on to college that they may not dart back in the Lord's house for 10 or 15 years. We've got young married couples that's my age that are married with children that don't come back, and they know what it is to be saved, but yet they don't bring their children to the Lord's house. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, we're in a battle, and if you can't see it, you better open your eyes. And yet sometimes we sit back and we say, "Oh, this brother can handle it, or this sister can handle it, or this one can do it. I'll leave it up to them. I'm comfortable. I'm happy being right where I'm at. I don't want to have to do nothing else. I want to come to church, and that's all I want to do." Listen, God has called us out to do a bigger job than what we think we're capable of doing. Y'all remember that sermon I preached the first time ever I come here, said, "Whom God calls, He will equip." When God calls us, He will equip us. He's called some of us to be preachers, some of us to be teachers, some of us to be pastors, some of us to be evangelists. All of us have a job to do. If I expected Brother Ronnie or Brother Collins or different ones to fulfill everything that needs to be done, well, honey, this morning, listen, they'd have their plate full. It's all of our jobs. Moses said, "Do you expect just to sit here while your brothers go to war?" Folks, you want to know what really tugged on my heart to come to Fairview Memorial. I pulled up in the parking lot the first time we got here. And I opened up the van door, and I looked back here at all these apartment buildings surrounding this church. And as we headed up the road, I seen Western Kentucky University sign on my right. And I thought, God, if there's ever been anywhere that can reach somebody, it's right here. There's apartments right back here behind us that no doubt people need to hear about Jesus. There's a college right down the road with college-age children, young adults that need to hear about Jesus. And you ask myself this morning, how will they hear unless somebody be sent? Folks, He's done commissioned us, hadn't He? He's done told us to go out. Now listen, like I said, y'all might, don't be mad at me. Honey, it's what God give me. He said, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? There's some of our preachers that are on the battlefront. There's some that are in different countries. Some that have traveled to mission field, and I'll just be honest with you, the Lord has not impressed upon me in that in this point in time in my life, but I want you to know that me and my wife's done talked about it, and have ever the Lord ever to tug upon my heart and say, you go. My friend, I want to be willing and ready to go. And my friend, each and every one of us need to be that way. You say within yourselves this morning, what can I do? My friend, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us this morning. We can do nothing on our own, but through Jesus Christ we can do it all, can we not? Listen, maybe this morning we go over here and we try to pass flyers or, I don't know, something out to some in this community. You say, well, preacher, we've done that before in the past. We didn't see no evidence of it. You believe in God's timing, don't you? God's got a time for everything. Folks, all we can do is what God has asked us to do. There's no big I's or little U's in the service of God. And when we're asked to do something, all we can do is what we're asked to do. And then we have to lay it at the feet of Jesus and know that if He's asked us to do something, that He's going to take care of it in His time. Now listen. You say, well, what good would it do? Folks, you may pass out 1,000 flyers. But if it touched one person's soul, would it not be worth it? You say, well, preacher, I'm not made out. I'm not cut out for that. Listen, folks, so many times we get in a comfortable position we want to stay in. God has called us out. Now, listen. I want to read this. He said unto them in the 16th verse, he says, and when they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. And we will not return unto our houses unto the children of Israel, have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, you will go armed before the Lord to war. And will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, unto he hath given out his enemies before him. and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. What sin is he talking about? A sin of failing to do what God has commanded them to do, to go out and to help their brethren. And my friend, a sin of just not doing nothing. God said, you sit here while your brethren go to war? Listen, this morning, God has called us out. He's put a song in our heart. He's given us something to tell the world about. Listen, this morning, maybe it ain't that special to you, but my friend, it's special to me. God has placed a song in our heart, and he's given us something we want to tell the world about. I want each and every person, those 56 million people that are claiming that the internet says it dies every year, I want every one of them to be saved. You know what the Lord says, what the Bible says? He says, for God so loved the world that he gave not his only begotten Son. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word whosoever means everybody. That covers every person that ever would be born and ever will be born. Everybody. He wants them all to be saved. It's his will that none should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. My friend, and he uses something like us from time to time as a weak vessel that we are to get the message out. Now listen. He said, be sure your sin will find you out. God knows the very intentions of our heart. He knows why we gather together. He knows every time we come into his house what our mind and what our focus is on. He knows every intention this morning. And my friend, this morning when we enter into God's house, it ought to be we cast everything else out from around us. That we come into this place and we lift our brethren up, that we esteem them higher than we are, and that we love them, and that we support them, and that we encourage them, and that we want to see them saved, and that we want to see their children saved and grandchildren saved, and that we just lift each other up. Listen, you want to know what the world is trying to do today? The world is trying to tear us down. Listen, God's people don't have to tear each other down. The world's trying to. You know what our job is? Is to build each other up. You know that's what God is in the business of, is building up. He ain't in the business of tearing down. He's in the business of building up. He's building up a kingdom, ain't he? Isn't he the chief cornerstone? Ain't we building on a foundation this morning? A foundation that's been laid long before me and you ever came into the picture. We are building up, folks. Now listen. I realize this morning that things like this maybe ain't always easy to hear. But I want you to know that we've got to be willing to trust in the Lord and in His plan. I believe that everything should be done decently and in order. I believe that. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. But my friend, I want you to know something this morning. That when God is in control, that it must be in His order. And if He's the head of it and He directs us. Now listen, when God is in order and when God is in charge, what we think might be in order may be out of order. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. We come into church and we run through the routines. We won't say, well, we want to have two or three songs, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. Listen, let God have free course this morning. Do you hear what I said? Just come in and worship God. I mean, just freely and spiritually. Just let God have His way. Just truly just release and let go and just let God have His way. You hear people talk about services of old, and boy, I don't like to reflect too much on years ago. But people would just come into God's house and just let go and let God. You ever heard that saying? That's a big one now. Just let go and let God. Just let Him have His way. Don't be so hung up on, well, this is the way this has got to be done, or this is the way that's got to be done. Just let go and let God have His way. I'm fixing to be done. I want to say this. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half a tribe of Manasseh, these two and a half tribes, did what they said they were going to do. They warred up with their brethren. They went over Jordan River. They done just exactly as God had asked them to do. As they went across Jordan River, God done just like He done at the Red Sea. And you know, He parted that river there and they walked across. They erected a memorial there, 12 stones there in the Jordan River. Now, if you would have told those two and a half tribes, if Joshua, who would end up leading the children of Israel across the Jordan, if Joshua would have told them, the first thing that we're going to do is march around Jericho just as God has commanded us to do, well, then people would have called him crazy. Listen to me this morning. God spoke to Joshua, and he said, Joshua, Jericho's going to be the first city. Walled city. No doubt, I believe in my heart, those inhabitants of Jericho looked out and no doubt could see maybe what was taking place there at Jordan River and thinking in their hearts, man, look at the God that they serve. Listen. And then here's Joshua telling them just exactly what's going to take place. He said, we're going to march around Jericho. He said, we're going to have I'm going to read this. In Joshua 1:6. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thee and in thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall encompass the city and ye men of war and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. If Joshua would have proclaimed to them what God had in store for them, they would have thought, wait a minute. You expect us to march around these cited walls. And we're going to do this 6 days. And we're not going to make a sound except for the ram's horn. And then on the 7th day, as we march around and they blast the ram's horn, then you want us to shout and these walls is going to come down? Well, folks, they would have looked at them like they was crazy. How else was they supposed to knock down a fortified city? Just any way that we would think, wouldn't it? Go about in common order. They would try to tear down the doors and get in. But that isn't the way that God had it planned. God said, Jericho is my battle. I'm fixing to show you just how big a God you serve. Folks, this morning we don't know what God has in store for us. We don't. We don't know exactly how God's going to bring us to it. But I'll tell you this, we better be willing to do just exactly how God wants us to do it. It may be different than anything else we've ever done. And my friend, if God is in it, guess what? That's all right. as long as it's in order and the way God wants it to be. Listen, this morning I'm telling you, there's a song I thought about this week, and it's different. I listen to a little bit of contemporary gospel music. But the song says, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. That's all I am this morning, is a nobody. We want to see just how big God is. We've got to trust in Him. We can't sit back and wait for everybody else to do something. Folks, that's the reason why this world has gotten a shape that it's got in. We've sat back and we've sat back and we've sat back. It's time we take a stand. And if we ain't going to stand for nothing else, let's stand for Jesus Christ. He's given us everything that we need to prepare for battle. Everything. He's told us what to suit up. He said, put the whole armor of God on. As folks, we're in a battle, whether or not you want to believe it or not today. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion seeking to devour whoever he may. Listen, there's a whole community out there of people that's trying to deceive people. And folks, we've got the truth right here. The truth. And it's our responsibility to share it with the world. You want to get involved? Be here on Sunday mornings for Sunday school. Bring your children. You want to be involved? Be here on Wednesday nights. You say, well, preacher, those are just little things. They're big things. All those little bitty things, they add up. I can remember the people in my life that I didn't have a ride to church or whatever, and they would stop and pick me up and take me to church. There's been a lot of things that I've forgotten in my life, but those things I remember. The influence that we can be and a help that we can be to somebody. There's a song that a friend of ours sings, he says, if I could help somebody. Listen this morning. That's all we're trying to do is reach the world. I hope this has been a help to you. I hope it encourages you. I hope that we get ready and get prepared for what lies ahead for us. Because folks, I'm telling you, I don't know how much longer we got, but we've got to focus on right now and today. Folks, there may be even lost people in this church right now. I don't know. But honey, we better be ready. Because the devil wants nothing more for them not to be saved. You say, well, Brother Casey, that's awful stout. Folks, I'm just telling you the truth. It's our job to tell them about Jesus. That's our message this morning. I hope and pray it's a help to you. I could go on for forever. I'm not going to. But I hope it's a help to you. Folks, I've not been here very long, but I love you this morning. And I know that you love me. I can feel it. And I appreciate that, the love that me and my family have felt. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, every church, can you imagine? Even though this church is a local independent body right here, just the influence that this church could have right here in this community. How many lives that it could touch right here in this community. Folks, there's a reason that God planted this church right here. It's to be a help, to be a lighthouse, to be a beacon. It's time we get ready to go to war. Let's help our brothers and sisters. Might we have a song?